If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, I want to invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And what you just saw on that video was a video promoting the International Mission Board. Every single year, every single Christmas, we take up what is known as the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And you might be asking, well, what is that? Is that a planet? No. Lottie Moon was a person. She was a missionary to China in the 1800s for some 40 years. And every single year, Southern Baptists across America and all over the world take up an offering in her name that goes directly to missionaries on the field, to their families, to their children, to be able to do what God has called them to do all across the nations. And that video is one example of one family that we support as Southern Baptists. Just by way of, I said this last week, by way of reminder, 2021 giving to Lottie Moon, and this was not just because of our church, because of all of the churches that gave to this offering, there were over 400 new missionaries appointed. There were over 18,000 new churches started. Over 86,000 people were baptized. Over 144,000 new believers, and close to 770,000 people heard the gospel witness across the world in these four nations from these missionaries that we have the opportunity to be able to support. So this year, our goal as a church is to be able to contribute $5,000 to this offering. So would you be praying about supporting that and giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year? I'm going to ask that you would stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God, Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 all the way through 25. It says this: Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we come before your throne today just saying thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for the birth of Christ that gives us hope. And Father, we pray today that you would allow us just to grasp these words in a new and fresh way, that Emmanuel, God, is with us. Father, would you just remind us of that today? For my brother or sister that's in this place that just needs to hear your voice, that needs to hear a word from you today, that needs to simply be reminded, God, that you are with them. Father, would you speak to their hearts today? God, you know all the needs and all the concerns, all the hurts, all the worries, all the pains, God, that are in this place. And Father, just show us today. God, remind us of this amazing, amazing truth that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. Father, we pray for those right now who were affected by this tornado that ripped across, the southeast these past several days. Father, for all of the lives that were lost, all the homes and businesses and churches that were lost, Father, we just ask and pray today that you would give these people strength, that you would give these people peace, that you would give these people comfort. Father, for those who lost loved ones in these tornadoes, Father, would you just remind them today that you are still good, that you're still on your throne, and Father, you are in control. You've never left your throne, and Father, you never ever will leave your throne. God, again, we thank you so much for your amazing word, a word that was written 2,000 years ago that still has great implication and application for us today. God, we love you. Thank you so much for Jesus and who he is and what he has done for us. We love you, God. We love you. We love you. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. So if you are an OU Sooner football fan, A couple of weeks ago, you woke up from your Sunday afternoon nap, maybe like me, and you thought to yourself, oh no, all hope has been lost. You woke up to the news saying our beloved coach, our prized young coach, Lincoln Riley, after he lost the Big 12 championship game, that he is heading to the West Coast. He is heading to California, and not only is he doing that, he has taken several of his assistant coaches with him. He's taken a lot of our players with him as well. They're transferring out. Many of our five-star recruits are saying, no, I'm not going to go anymore to the University of Oklahoma. They're bowing out of their commitments. And we thought to ourselves, oh no, what in the world are we going to do? All hope is lost. And then this week happened, right? This week happened, and OU got their man, Coach Brent Venables. He was here before, and he has been the defensive coordinator at the University of Clemson, and we got our man, and you see in pictures like this one, people now have this newfound hope. We have this newfound hope that everything is going to be okay with OU football. And while Venables' arrival in Norman means that there is hope for OU football, church family, may we be reminded this morning that Christ's arrival in Bethlehem means that there is hope for mankind. Matthew 1, again, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this verse that is used in Matthew chapter 1, as a matter of fact, is a prophecy that comes from Isaiah chapter 7. You see, in Isaiah chapter 7, King Ahaz of Judah received threats from King Pekah of Syria and King Rezin of Israel that they were teaming up to come and to besiege Ahaz and Jerusalem. And when Ahaz hears this, Isaiah 7:2 says that Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. So we see that this imminent threat against Jerusalem obviously had King Ahaz and the people of Judah shaking in their boots. So God tells Isaiah the prophet, he says, go to Ahaz and the people of Judah and tell them. And this is what Isaiah says to Ahaz and these people. He says, be careful. Be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart faint. And then God tells Ahaz through Isaiah, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. In other words, God said to Ahaz through Isaiah, Ahaz, I've got it. These two armies will not overcome you. God is saying to Ahaz through Isaiah, I am going to deliver you from these two armies, and I'm going to do something even greater than this. In the future, I'm going to send my son to deliver my people from sin. And this is where we get this verse. Isaiah goes on to say, here's what is coming for the people, for your people. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means that God is with us. And in order for this verse to have the most impact on us today, we do need to understand it in its context of Isaiah. But at the same time, we also need to understand it in its context of Matthew chapter 1. You see, the beginning of the New Testament was a dark time in the history of Israel. The Roman government had overtaken the land. The people of Israel were living in oppression. It had been some 400 years since God's people had heard the voice of God. As a matter of fact, the last time they heard the voice of God was from the prophet Malachi, and it was a prophecy of judgment. Malachi said this, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, And this was more than likely an Elijah type, a prophet in John the Baptist. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Again, these were the last words the people of God had heard from God in the Old Testament. Basically, God said to them, the very last words he said to them, change your hearts and ways, or I am going to strike the land with destruction. And then the next words the people of God hear from God some 400 years later are, the Messiah has come. God is with you. And these words, church family, still ring out for you and I today. The Messiah has come. God is with you. You see, God with us means this, that there is hope for sin. God with us means that there is hope for sin. And we spoke about this last week, and I'd encourage you to go and to listen to last week's message if you have not had a chance to do so. But the birth of Christ and his finished work on the cross gives us hope over the power of sin, and it gives us hope over the penalty of sin. You see, without Christ, our sin has complete power over us. We cannot defeat sin's power over us without Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You see, without Christ, we cannot defeat sin on our own. Without Christ, because of our sin, we deserve eternal separation from God. But Christ gives us victory over sin, and his finished work on the cross gives us forgiveness from the penalty of sin. John the Baptist said it like this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus himself said this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And we need to be reminded today, church family, that this is ultimately why Christ came to the earth and was born as a baby. He was born to die. He was born to die as the sacrificial atonement for sin for all who would trust in him by faith. One prominent theologian writes, the point is not that Jesus ever bore Emmanuel as an actual name, but that it indicates his role bringing God's presence to man. This meaning is related to that of his actual name, Jesus, in that it is sin which separates man from God's presence, so that salvation from sin results in God with us. And that is through Jesus Christ. You see, church family, the Jewish people during Jesus' day, they knew that a Messiah was coming, but they were expecting something much different. They were not expecting a humble Messiah who would come and die. They were expecting a conquering king, one who would defeat their earthly oppressors. You see, church family, the first time Jesus came, he came to conquer sin and death and hell through his work on the cross. He came as a servant to die. But the second time he comes, he will come on a horse of white to conquer the enemy for good and forever. You see, God with us means today that there is hope for our sin. May we never get over that. May we never get over this amazing gospel message that once we were dead in our sin, we deserved to be eternally separated from God. But because of Jesus Christ, there is hope for our sin, which once separated us from God. This is why we honor Christ. This is why we trust in Christ. This is why we worship Christ and honor his amazing name because of what he has done for us in our sin. Next, God with us means this, that there is hope for today, tomorrow, and forever. God with us means that there is hope for today, tomorrow, and forever. Have you ever felt like King Ahaz? Maybe you feel like King Ahaz. And the people of Judah today, as their oppressors were coming in on them, shaking as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. Or maybe today you feel like the Jewish people before Jesus was born. Maybe you feel like it's been a long time since God has shown up in your life. Maybe you feel like God is absent in your life. Or maybe you feel like God has turned a deaf ear to you. Maybe today you're facing difficult odds. Maybe today you're dealing with a financial issue, or maybe you're dealing with a health issue, or you're dealing with a relational issue. Maybe you are dealing with sick parents. Maybe you're dealing with a prodigal child. Maybe today you are dealing with an addiction that you just cannot seem to shake. Maybe you're dealing with the loss of a loved one that has just placed a major void in your life or the life of your family. Maybe today you're dealing with a broken heart. Maybe today you're just plain worn out. Maybe you're just tired mentally, physically, spiritually. Or maybe today you're concerned about the future. Maybe you're worried about the state of this world, as so many of us are. Maybe you're wondering how this is all going to work out in our culture, as our culture seems just daily to turn its back on God more and more and more. Maybe you are wondering how a certain situation in your life is going to play out. Maybe today you understand that life is short. Maybe you understand that death is on your horizon, whether that be a loved one. You understand that a loved one's getting ready to pass away. Maybe you yourself, whether that be because of an illness or your age, and you understand very well that your days are coming to an end, but maybe you fit in one of these categories today. But can I remind you today, church family, that God with us means that there is hope for today. There is hope for tomorrow. There is hope for forever. There is hope for all of eternity. One theologian writes by the name of Adam Clark. He says, God is with us through every action of our life that we begin, continue, and end in His name. He is God with us to comfort, enlighten, protect, and defend us in every time of temptation and trial, in the hour of death, in the day of judgment, and God with us and in us, and we with and in Him to all of eternity. So this morning, today, church family, be reminded in that whatever you are facing today, tomorrow, or in the future, be reminded of this amazing truth that we see in this verse, that God is with you. He's with you. And can I tell you today the same thing that Isaiah told Ahaz? And I believe that many of you in this place need to just hear this. The same thing that Isaiah told Ahaz: be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. I'm going to say that again to you. I need to hear this. I need to be reminded of this today as I have concerns in my life that I think about on a daily basis. Today, tomorrow, every single moment, be careful, be quiet. Do not fear and do not let your heart be faint. Here is why. Because Emmanuel, God is with you. God has all of your issues in the palm of His hand. God has tomorrow in the palm of His hand. So today, rest in Christ. Rest in Christ. And let Him deal with your burdens according to His timing, according to His ways, according to His purposes, and according to His plan. But regardless, you can rest in Christ today because Emmanuel, God is with you. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Then, if Jesus Christ be God with us, let us come to God without any question or hesitancy. Whoever you may be, you need no priest or intercessor to introduce you to God. Here's why. For God has introduced Himself to you. Emmanuel, God is with you today. Emmanuel, God will be with you tomorrow. Emmanuel, God will hold your hand through the passing of this life and into the next. And as there is hope for today and tomorrow and our future and even in death, can I remind you today, church family, And I believe that many of you need to hear this today. I need to hear this today. Can I remind you today, church family, that God was with you in your past? God was with you in your past. And maybe you are here today and you're wondering why something turned out the way that it did in the past. And maybe that's on your heart every single day, and you wonder about that every single day. Why did I have to go through this? Why did it have to turn out this way? Maybe it was the loss of a loved one or the way a loved one passed. Maybe it was a season of loneliness. And you're still wondering about that, and you're looking back on that time in your life. Maybe it was a season of just depression and darkness in your life. Maybe it was a miscarriage. Maybe it was a dream job that you had and you were let go from, and you're still today wondering, what happened? Why did that take place in my life? Maybe it was a relationship that went bad and you're still wondering, what happened there? Maybe that was 20 years ago or 30 years ago and you're still wondering, what happened? Maybe it was a season of hitting rock bottom. No matter what you tried, everything just seemed to come up against you. And maybe you wonder from time to time, God, where were you? God, where were you? And can I remind you today that even though that was a very difficult season of life, that God was there. And He was there working in your past. He was there working in the details. He was there orchestrating a way out. He was there working in you to make you more like Himself. He was there causing you to depend on Him and His grace and His provision. I have an uncle who's a Christian songwriter. He's also an author. He does a weekly podcast. But he starts off his podcast every single week by saying something to this effect. He says, God does not waste our hurts. He does not waste our failures. And He does not waste our past. Would you hear that today? Maybe there's something in your past that you think about every single day. Would you just be reminded of this, that God does not waste your hurts? He will not waste your mess ups and your failures. He does not even waste your past. In other words, God will use whatever we have gone through for His glory and for His purposes in our lives if we will simply let Him do so. One Puritan pastor wrote, "There is not such a pleasant history for you to read in all the world as the history of your own lives. If you would sit down and record from the beginning hitherto what God has been to you and done for you, what evidences and outbreakings of His mercy, faithfulness, and love there have been in all the conditions that you have passed through." Again, be reminded today, church family, that God was there in your past doing something and has brought you to this point today. What I want to do right now is I want to play a song for you. And the song has some lyrics to it. But I just want you to be reminded of this. Maybe there is something that is in your past. And maybe you think about it quite often. God, what happened then? Why did it turn out this way? I just want to invite you, as we play this song, we're going to turn on the lights. And as we play this song, would you just give that season of life over to the Lord? Maybe it's something that you carry every single day, and maybe it's even a burden to you. I would just invite you, as we play this song, allow the song and the words and the meaning of this song to minister to you. But at the same time, I would say, if that is a burden that you carry every single day, would you just by faith say, God, I give that season of life over to you. While I don't understand it, I trust you fully and full well. I give this to you, God. Would you just allow this song to minister to you as we play this song?
Face Goliath on a hill. with all his might until you took his hand and held on tight. 'Cause you were there, you were there in the midst of danger's snare. You were there, you were there always. You were there when the hardest fight seemed so out of reach. Oh, you were there. You were always there. You were always there. So there he stood upon that hill, Abraham with knife in hand was poised to kill. God in all his sovereignty had bigger plans, and just in time you brought a lamb. 'Cause you were there, you were there in the midst of the unclear. You were there, you were there.
God, I just say thank you this morning that you're always with us. Today, tomorrow, and the future. Father, thank you so much for this great reminder that reminds us that you're omnipresent, that you were even there during those difficult days in the past where it seemed like you may have not been. So God, I just pray for my brother or sister today that just needed to be reminded of that you were there doing the work for your glory, doing the work in them, in us. And you will never, ever leave. You never, ever have left us. You never, ever will forsake us. So we thank you so much for this great reminder today. Emmanuel, God with us. We love you, God. We love you. Amen. Next, God with us means this, that Jesus is both God and man. Jesus is both God and man. Jesus himself said this, I and the Father are one. John chapter 10. Jesus himself said this, whoever sees me sees him who sent me. John 14. If you had known me, Jesus says, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Paul said it like this, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you see, church family, Jesus being fully God and fully man is the central doctrine of our faith. I want to read to you this morning what the Baptist Faith and Message says about this. This is our statement of faith on this. It says that Christ is the eternal Son of God. In his incarnation as Jesus Christ, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus perfectly revealed and did the will of God, taking upon himself human nature with its demands and necessities and identifying himself completely with mankind, yet without sin. He honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and in his substitutionary death on the cross, he made provision for the redemption of men from sin. He was raised from the dead with a glorified body and appeared to his disciples as the person who was with them before his crucifixion. He ascended into heaven and is now exalted at the right hand of God, where he is the one mediator, fully God, fully man, in whose person is effected the reconciliation between God and man. He will return in power and glory to judge the world and to consummate his redemptive mission. He now dwells in all believers as the living and ever-present Lord. This is who our Savior is, fully God and fully man. Another prominent theologian writes, the church in every age, and this is us, he says, the church in every age should recognize here a clear affirmation of Jesus' deity and cling tightly to this doctrine as crucial for our salvation. At the same time, Matthew wants to emphasize that Jesus as God is with us. Deity is imminent. Too often, those who have rightly contended for Jesus, full deity, have created a God to whom they do not feel close, rather than one who became human in every way like them, but without sin. As God with us, Jesus enables us to come boldly before God's throne when we accept the forgiveness of sins he made available and develop an intimate relationship with him. You see, church family, whenever we see the heart of Jesus in the scriptures, we see the heart of God. Would you hear that again today? Whenever you read about Christ in the Gospels and see the heart of Christ in the Gospels, you see the heart of God. It's so easy, and so often we get this wrong perspective of God, that he is some distant God that we cannot approach, some distant God that is up there on his throne with some big spiritual hammer ready to smack us over the head every time we think about, you know, messing up or making a mistake. But that's not who our God is. You see, the heart of Jesus reveals the heart of our God. Paul says it like this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Again, whenever we see the heart of Jesus, we see the heart of God. And our God is a God of humility. Think about the way that he was born. He was born during a very humble time and in a very humble way. Born in a barn, in a manger. Paul says it like this, as he is a God of humility. Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He is a God of humility. One theologian writes like this. He says, Matthew invites us to consider and worship the God who accepted the ultimate vulnerability, born as an infant to poor and humiliated parents into a world hostile to his presence. Oppressors must hate such a God, for his abandonment of power for love is contrary to everything they stand for. But the broken and oppressed find in him a savior they can trust in a world where trust is generally dangerous. Of all the world's faiths, only Christianity announces a God who embraced our pain with us. May that change our perspective of God today. He is a God with us, a God of humility. He is also a God who loves. Again, whenever we see the heart of Jesus in the scriptures, we see the heart of God. And he is a God who loves. John says it like this: Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. He is a God who loves. Also, he is in total control. Our Jesus, our Savior, he is in total control. Jesus said this before he ascended into the heavens. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I want us to think about this morning, church family, because of this truth, all right? Because of this truth that Jesus is God, because Jesus is in total control, and because Jesus is God with us, this means that what Jesus says can be fully trusted. Hear that again. Hear it again. Because of this amazing truth that Jesus is God, that Jesus is in total control, that Jesus is God with us, this means that what Jesus says in the Gospels, what Jesus says in his word, can be fully and 100% trusted. Jesus says this to you and I. He says, come to me. Trust me. Submit to me. I'll take away sin's power over you, and I'll take away sin's penalty for you. We can fully trust that. That I don't have to earn something. That by me trusting in Christ and his work on the cross and his atonement, I am made fully righteous before God. By simply trusting in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. I can rest in that. That whenever I make a mistake and mess up, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can rest in that. We all can rest in that. That God loves you no matter what. You can trust that. When you go home later on and take your nap or whatever you're going to do this week, rest in that. That whenever Jesus says you are forgiven, you are forgiven. He loves you. What else can you trust? Well, all the word. But Jesus says this: whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, you'll find it. And you can trust that. That whenever you follow Jesus fully, that he's worth it. That it's worth it. That whenever you turn your back on sin and the ways of the world and fully trust Jesus and follow him, you're going to find true life. You're not going to lose it. You're going to fully find your life. And you can trust that truth this week and this next year. Whenever you're tempted with the world's temptation, whenever you're tempted to not worship Christ or to place your allegiance somewhere else, you can fully trust that whenever Jesus says, hey, follow me, you're going to find your life. Trust that, because you will. You will. Jesus says, trust me, follow me. I've come that you may have an abundant life. Trust that today. He's worth it. He's worth following, giving up your life for. Jesus says, I have full authority. He's got your situation in the palm of his hand. Trust it. Trust that today. He wasn't lying whenever he said that he is in total and complete charge. He has full authority. What's that allow you to do? It allows you just to rest in Christ, that no matter how this situation turns out, as you are following Christ, that Christ has full authority. He is in total charge of that. What else is he totally in charge of? He's in total charge of the world too, right? He's on his throne. So whenever you see the crazy things that are going to come across your phone or the news, guess what? We trust in Christ, right? We don't trust in what we see on the news. We trust in Christ. He's in charge. He has authority. He is in control. Jesus says this, I am God with you today, tomorrow, and forever. Guess what? Today you can trust that. Today you can rest in that. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all you nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Mild he lays his glories by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hell the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hell, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hell, the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Christ, the highest heaven adore. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Would you pray with me this morning, church family? We spoke at the beginning of this message that the reason why Christ came to this earth and humbled himself as a baby and was born, he was born ultimately to die. He was born to die. Why did he die? Why did he go to a cross and die a horrendous death? Well, the Bible says that he died on that cross to pay the penalty for sin. He was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect sacrificial lamb. He died for sin once and for all. And the Bible says that all who place their faith and trust in Jesus have the forgiveness of sin. And this morning, maybe you're in this place and you've never done that. This morning, you can do that right from your seat. You can place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Why do we need to do that? Well, the Bible tells us that apart from Christ, apart from his forgiveness that he offers, the Bible makes it very clear that without Christ, that we are dead in our sin, and that if we were to pass from this earth and without Christ, the Bible says that we would go to a very real place called hell, eternally separated from God. But today we can have hope that because of Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin. If you've never trusted in Christ and made him your Lord and placed your faith in his finished work on the cross, being resurrected from the grave, today you can do that. Would you do that today again? Would you trust the fact that whenever Christ says, you come to me, that you gain your life, you don't lose it? Trust that today. Rest in that today, that Christ is worth it. Maybe you're in this place today and you've never done that. You can pray a prayer like this from the depths of your heart. Say, God, I understand that I need Jesus. I understand that without Jesus, I have no hope. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. Today, I place my faith in Jesus. Today, I commit my life to Jesus. Today, I confess that Jesus is Lord. Thank you, God, for saving me. And if you said that to God today, the Bible says that you are a believer, that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Jesus. And the next step for you is to tell the world that you're a follower of Jesus. Every time someone was saved in the Bible, they followed it up immediately with what we call believer's baptism. Baptism is how you show the world that you are a follower of Jesus. And if you said that to God today, let us know so that we can celebrate with you, but also so that we can lead you and guide you into what is next for you. Would you let us know somehow by filling out that information, piece of paper that's in your bulletin? Tell somebody, let us know so that we can lead you and guide you and celebrate with you. God, we love you. Thank you so much for this great reminder today that you're God with us, Emmanuel. You're with the people of Judah during the day of Ahaz, people of Jesus. And you're with us today. We thank you so much for that. You're with us tomorrow. You're with us for forever. So, Father, help us just to rest in that today, that no matter what's going on in our lives or no matter what may happen tomorrow, that, God, you're with us. God, thank you for the reminder today as well that as you were omnipresent, you were even with us during dark days in our past, days of difficulty. You were there. So, Father, just remind us of that today, that even though things may have turned out the way that we did not like or understand, you're still in charge. You're still on your throne. And by your grace, we're here today. And we thank you so much for that. How you have brought us to this point today. And you're going to continue to walk with us no matter what happens in our lives. We trust you, God. Thank you for being a God of humility. A God that would allow his son to leave the beauties of heaven, to come, to trade his heavenly crown for an earthly crown of thorns. Oh, what a God you are. Thank you for being a God of love for us. Help us to trust that today, that you love us no matter what. You love us. And thank you, God, for being a God that is in total control. You're in charge of everything. Everything in our lives and everything that happens on this planet, God, you are in charge. So, Father, help us to leave this place today knowing that you're with us, knowing that you love us, and knowing that you are in charge. We love you, God. We love you. We worship you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, will you stand to your feet as we worship this amazing Savior?